Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now, the Lord's been stirring in my heart 2025. This isn't a vision Sunday sort of service, but the Lord has been stirring up next year, not just for me, but for each and every one of us. You know, and a question that I have is, what is God stirring in your heart? See, at the end of every year, I always find that it's an opportune time to sit and reflect, to look at the highs and the lows and everything in between and really just reflect on God's calling for my life. You know, I never want to be arrogant enough to suggest that I know what tomorrow brings. So every single day, it's all right, Lord, what do you have for me? But even more importantly, every single year to pray into it. See, for some, it's just building on what this year has been. And I know you might be thinking, okay, you're preaching this message in the second Sunday, on the second Sunday of November. This is usually the New Year's Eve message, but we're getting in a little bit earlier because I believe that the Lord is stirring and shaking change. See, I believe that the way that church has been done up until now, you know, one thing that I've heard from different angles is the word reformation, renaissance, renewal, realignment. God is doing something in his church. John 15 talks about how every tree, even if they bear fruit, are pruned. We are in a pruning season. And I believe that the way that we do church, the way that we've done church, is not what God wants us to continue into the new year. So no more services are good. No, that's a bad joke. More services. The Lord is calling us back to him. And so for me, what I felt the Lord, the theme that I want to speak about today is stewardship. And I've titled my message, Talented Ones. See, over the last few months, I've been speaking a lot about this topic of stewardship because I really believe that the Lord is trying to arrest our hearts because he wants to do something new. Often we can think about stewardship. The first thing we think about is money. Okay, this is the money message again. This is not about money. That's a very simple thing. I have a resource, I can give it away or I can choose not to. But I feel specifically what God wants to speak about is something that is far more valuable than a tangible resource, something that is very unique to each and every one of you and I. And that's the gift and the grace and the calling on your life. See, everyone has a grace, everyone has a call, everyone has a mandate, and everyone has a sphere of influence. You know, often one thing that I hear people say is, I can't do what you do. And my response is, I can't do what you do. So just like many of you can't do what I do, I could not live a day in your shoes and do it with half the class and grace that you do. And that's what I love about how God is. God understands that, so he graces us very differently. You know, a funny illustration, and you know, I didn't get permission from my daughter to share the picture, so I'm just going to tell the story. You know, Alexis is a very talented drawer. I don't know who she gets it from. Definitely not mum and I. But I remember at the start of the year, she just in 5 minutes, just doodling away, draws this beautiful picture of a person. And then she's like, she looks at me, she's like, oh, daddy, nah, everyone can do it. I'm like, trust me, darling, not everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. I go, well, watch. I'm going to look at what you drew, and I'm going to try to draw the same thing in the same amount of time that you did it. Whilst her picture was of this beautiful girl, mine looked like a very surprised, weird-looking person. I can come after, I'll show you the photos. They're quite hilarious. And at that point, she realized, wait a second, we are all graced and gifted very differently. And so to illustrate his point, Jesus actually tells a story about this, and it comes in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And so it's going to appear on the screen behind me, and it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that there is always meaning that is applicable to our lives in everything that you speak. That every word in this book, Father, Lord, is to convict, not condemn, Lord, to inspire and empower, Lord, not to call out, Lord, but to call up. So, Lord, I pray that as we speak today, Lord, may it be your words, not mine, Father God. May they be seeds in our hearts, Father. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, this parable is a very serious reminder of how seriously God takes how we steward what we're entrusted with. And so there are a lot of key takeaways that we get from this scripture. You know, the very first thing that comes to mind when I read this scripture is that it's the Lord. The Lord is the only one that gives out talents. So you got to think about the context of the day and the context of the story, that this was an illustration that Jesus was making a point. See, talenton in Greek literally just means money. And so what one talent meant, and scholars say that one talent was the equivalent of 6,000 denarii, which was the equivalent of 75 years' wages. So what he's saying here is that what is distributed is not just little loose church change here. Like, you know what my auntie used to give me when I was little? Here, have $3 and go and buy as many lollies as you want. Just take a little bit of the scraps. No, the Lord is saying of what my value is, the master is saying, all of this, I'm giving you the very best to steward. And so the talents bestowed on us are not just these little insignificant things that we carry, but they are of significantly kingdom value. And so the context of what Jesus is explaining when he talks about that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, he's explaining the worth of the specific privileges of the kingdom of God that are entrusted to each and every one of us. Just a quick aside on this, not in my notes. You know, one of the biggest, sadly, lies that can be told in church is that if you don't use your gift in church, this is the ultimate. This is not the ultimate, church. Many of us sit there, well, I can't use it in church. God hasn't called us just to use our gifts in church. God has trusted us to go out there and use our gifts in our spheres of influence. Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that. Because I believe God is breaking that misconception here. You know, too long have I heard people that have got gifts in media. No, you've got to only use it for the church. There is a world that needs the kingdom of God to go to. And I believe God's going to break that today. Anyway, back to my notes. Might be a bit of that today. Thank God we got 3 hours left. No, okay. What I love about this story is that the master called his servants his own. They were his delight, his treasure, not his commodity. And so he entrusted the best of himself, of what he had, to these three. He entrusted the value to them to steward. He saw something in them that said, you know what? I'm going to give you 5, I'm going to give you 2, and I'm going to give you 1. And I love that it says here, each according to their own ability. How beautiful is that? Often we put this pressure on ourselves that we have to attain to something that God never asks us to do. He knows your ability. He knows what your grace is because he created you. And everyone has a talent. Notice how it says, each to their own ability. What breaks my heart in this day and age is there are people that think they have absolutely nothing to offer the kingdom of God. And they think they're talentless. But yet here, each and every one of us are entrusted with at least one talent that God determines. Genesis 1:26-27 tells us how God created us in his image. The imago Dei, the image of God, in his image and likeness, male and female, he created them. So we are not created as nothing beings. We are created in the image of the fruitful God and possess qualities and likeness of who he is in our lives. And yet still some feel they have nothing, which is not true. Even more than that, sometimes we can compare ourselves. You can say, oh, well, he must be God's favorite because, or she must be God's favorite because they've got 5 talents and I've only got 1. But what I love about how God distributes is that in different areas, different skill sets are required. For example, if you were to get a brain surgeon and a pilot up here, you know, you think about a brain surgeon, you think someone that, when I hear how long these surgeries go for, not that I've ever had brain surgery, probably could use with some, particularly to improve my math skills. Anyway, something else, but I might get into a counselling session here. But when you look at how many hours a brain surgeon has to be, have the precision to do what they do, that if they move one little millimeter to one wrong side, they could kill someone or they could permanently brain damage someone. For me, I think of that one talent of being able to focus and do what they have to do as important. But then you think of a pilot. I don't know if you've ever had a look inside the cockpit when you go into a plane and you just see, all I just see is, for a kid, it'd be an absolute dream come true, all these switches to flick and all these different things. A pilot has to be aware of so many different variables at the exact same time. Would you say the pilot's more important than the brain surgeon? In the plane, he is. But the brain surgeon is more important in surgery. See the point that I'm making, that you might possess different things that you are good at, or you might possess one or two, but they require different skills, focus that God has designed you to have. So my question, church, is what is your talent? Because what we read in this story is that the Lord, or the master in the story, gave the talents and went on the journey. See, the Lord entrusts us and releases us to go. He entrusts us that what is distributed will be put to good use. He doesn't need to model coddle us for that. He's like, here you are, I've given you this, I've given you a burden, and here you are, go. Go for it. And so the Lord created you and I, and we've been created to be the vessels of his love and grace to a fallen world. And yet many of us cannot recognize the talents bestowed on us. You know, I often find that the clues to finding out what that talent is in our lives is, what are you passionate about? What are you good at? What inspires you? What breaks your heart? What do you see that troubles your heart about injustices and you want to see change? What are these things? And often they're clues to the very thing that God has entrusted you to do. It's a good question, one to think about. But see, knowing your talent is just the first step. The next step then actually requires us to put your talent or talents to use. So we read here that the ones with five and two, they went and traded with them. They stepped out and went. They took what they had and they went. They didn't sit there and wait for people to come to them. This is why I struggle with that misconception that you can only put your talents to use in church. You got to understand my heart. Today's message is not about recruiting teams for the church. Today's message is about recruiting people for his kingdom to go out there and trade with what God has given you. It's very different. See, the biggest mistake we make in church is that God gives us a talent and we sit here and we wait. Oh, well, I'm just going to sit here. The Lord gave it to me. He's going to bring them to me. But these two, they went and they traded. And I love that what they traded with was who they were and what they had, not what they weren't. So they went, they used what they had, and the result of that is that they doubled their talent. See, one of the things that, you know, how beautiful is it when you read the Word of God, right? You read it, you can read the same scripture 101 times, and the Lord reveals something new every single time. You know, for the first time when I read this, something really just stood out to me. When the master entrusted them, he knew that they were a sure investment. He knew it. That's why he gave them according to their ability. I know that if I give this person five, I know that they'll easily with five. And if I give this one two, I know that with two they can do it. And if I give them one, I know, because I know their ability. So I know that if I give them that, you know what? They're going to make something of it. So when he made you, when you created you, Psalm 139, when he knitted you in your mother's womb, insert your name here, is like, I know that what I've given them, if they step out in my grace, I know that they'll double what I've given them and they'll live a fruitful life. Don't believe me? Genesis 1:28. See, this is, again, we can overlook these things in scripture. But it says, Genesis 1:26 to 27 talks about that he created man and woman in his image, in his likeness. And in verse 28, it says, and he blessed them, then said, go forth and multiply. Notice how he blessed them. He didn't say, go forth and multiply, and then I might bless you. No, out of blessing, he said, go forth and multiply. Sure investment that when he created you, it wasn't, I don't know. It's actually, no, I've created you to be blessed, and you already are blessed. So whatever you do, the blessing will come from that. The problem is when we create our definitions in terms of what blessing should look like. For some, it's got to be, oh, if I'm not on the platform, then I'm not blessed. For others, if my bank balance isn't reflecting six figures, I'm not blessed. But the Lord's definition and our definition are very different. Is this helping anybody this morning? So you're blessed. And so the two understood this. And what I love about this is that they were very secure in their identity. The one with the two didn't go, well, how come he got five? He was just like, oh, hey, man, I'm just lucky I got anything at all. So I'm going to take what I'm given. I'm going to go. You know, again, let's stay in our lane. As we go into 2025, can we accept two fundamental truths, right? The first one being, yes, other people are gracing different areas. And two, only you can do what you do. Can we accept that? Because if we put, like I said, if I put myself in your context, I'd probably be like a fish out of water, floundering. Because God has graced you to do what only you can do. And that's why I love that he adds to his church and he's the one that arranges each part of the body according to his plans and purpose. See, passivity, when we're passive, that stifles fruitfulness. Many of us wait to be asked when Father has asked you to go. Take and go. Take it and go. We need to step out. Whatever platform God has called you to be on, as you step out faithfully in that, you will see fruitfulness. I really hope one thing that I've just been praying so much into, you know, and again, thank God, these may be for other churches, other places, other times, other planets. I really hope if there's one thing that God will break in this whole season is the whole idea of celebrity. Now, for those that don't know, celebrity is not that I can't enunciate my C's. I can say if you have a bit of a lisp. Celebrity is where we say, that man of God, I want to follow, do it. Whatever he says, I will do. If he tells me jump, I'll jump out high. If he tells me drink the Kool-Aid, hey, serve me first, my friend. That we follow a person and not the person of Jesus. Let me tell you one thing. At the end of all things, for me, what I want to measure the fruitfulness of my legacy is that the people that I lead, do they love Jesus more? Not do they love me more? It's the same with where you're placed, your platform, your sphere of influence. For our incredible mothers in the house who are stay-at-home moms, that's your platform, that your children will love Jesus more. Whether you're the CEO of an organization, again, your platform, your sphere of influence is to bring the kingdom of God to where you're at. When they see a CEO, do they see a man after God or a woman after God's heart? Or do they see an ambitious person just wanting to make more for themselves? Everything in between, whatever your sphere is, where you've heard me say this before in Yuma West, where God places, he graces. And that's what the theme of this is about. A lot of times this is preached on the theme of money, but I love the way that one of the commentators puts it. See, is that this scripture, the theme of this, it's not a matter of passively waiting, but of responsible activity, producing results with which the coming master can see and approve. For the period of waiting was never intended to be an empty, meaningless delay, but a period of opportunity to put to good use the talents entrusted to us. See, the two knew what had to be done, and they were secure in their identity to know that, okay, well, if he thinks that I'm a sure thing, then we got to go and do it. They knew their master's heart and could outwork what was entrusted of them. Whereas the one took a different approach. And what we see from the response of the one is that how you view the Lord determines how you steward your talent. Let me say that again. How you view the Lord determines how you steward your talent. Because the slave with one, he went, and what did he do? He hid it. And this is the thing. He preferred to have the appearance of having nothing than actually using what God had given. There's another word for that. It's called false humility. I'm just going to call it out. Or as the commentator says it, the one represents a discipleship which consists of playing it safe and so achieving nothing. He viewed his master as shrewd and not generous. Perhaps he viewed his one talent as insignificant. Didn't actually realize, well, wait a second, I'm a slave. So technically I have no rights. And yet the Lord has given me 75 years of a wage. He didn't see the value in that. Perhaps he saw it as like, oh, well, he must think little of me because I've only got this. Perhaps he felt that the master didn't trust him. Often we can overlook the significance of what we have. You know, I was having a conversation with Pastor Sonia about this, right? You know, and this wasn't a false humility. It was just the reality of it, that when I, who I relate to in this story is the one with one talent. There's one talent that I have. I'm good at many things, but there is one talent that's the undercurrent of that, is to bring the encouragement of the Lord to whoever it is in that sphere of what I do. So wherever I'm at, my talent is to just come and love and encourage and build. Love and encourage and build. Whether it's playing keyboard, whether it's just being at home or in a life group, my talent is to, Lord, how do I make people see the way you see them? So that's what I use it. Because often we think our talents are just what we're good at. The point of it is it should outwork and work through what you're good at. But we can overlook what we have because it's not what someone else has. We can believe we don't have what it takes. And I mentioned the term false humility. Well, what's false humility? I know I've been there many a time. Have you ever met that person from the other planet, the other church, and you tell them, hey, man, that's amazing what you did there. Nah, I'm nothing. No. Glory to God. I'm just this useless old person that God just, you know, it's all him. I'm nothing. It's funny that because Genesis 1:26 said we're created in his image and his likeness. Is he nothing? He created you in his image. I'll tell you what humility is in a moment, but you're going to have to wait a few minutes for that one. Often we long for someone else's talent. If I was like, that's what celebrity has become. Ooh, if I had the influence of whoever the next, we've gone through all the eras, right? Where, you know, I won't name church names, but we've gone through all the eras. We see that person. But that's their grace and calling. And I tell you what, I would even hazard a guess that if we were to put that person that we put on a pedestal in your world, they would also flounder as well. So what can also happen is that we can become complacent and just sit on our talent and do nothing with it. See, tomorrow is no guarantee. We've been entrusted with various talents to bring the kingdom of God to where we are. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Many of us are waiting for him to come and take us, but we forget that at the end, we're not going anywhere. His kingdom's coming here. So we might as well get started now, church, rather than wait for that time and see people just go without knowing Jesus. We can get overawed by the idea of changing the world, but can I tell you, if you just start by changing the world God's entrusted you, the whole world, the Lord will take care of the whole world. And so this story represents the uncomfortable reality that one day we will be held accountable for how we steward our talents. The Lord will hold to account what we did or didn't do. And I don't say this to scare you. I say this to encourage you. In the eyes of the Lord, you are a sure investment. That God has graced you and given you gifts and talents to bring his kingdom. So wherever you go, in whatever you do, as you align to what he entrusts to you, you will see fruitfulness. But the day will come. And so what happened here is what we see is that he returned. And this is where I talk about, you know, I spoke about humility, false humility. The 5 and 2 show what humility is because they acknowledge the source of the talent first. Lord, you have delivered 5 talents. Lord, you have delivered 2 talents. And then they testify to the fruitfulness of his investment through him. They were like, hey, you delivered this to us and we went out and look what happened. 5 became 10, 2 became 4. See, I love that the response of the master was to praise and encourage them. The Lord will share many things. There's one thing that the Lord will never share and that's his glory. So in the 5 and 2 acknowledging here, they were acknowledging one truth. On their own strength, they couldn't get the talents. So God gets, only God can give us what he gives us. Only God can entrust us with it. So the Lord will never, ever, ever share glory. And you see throughout history when you read the word of God, and even in recent seasons when you've seen celebrities, and I'm coming after celebrities today, whoever they may be, none of us in here, praise the Lord, that whenever a celebrity tries to take the glory of God, the fall comes straight away. They say pride comes before the fall, right? Because God will never share glory. But as a good father, he will share credit. Don't believe me? His answer. Let's go to it. I've just lost my scripture where I was because I was so excited. He said to both the 5 and the 2, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, oh, don't you be grateful. No, it's all me. It's nothing of you. No, well done, good and faithful servant. Credit. God can give credit and encouragement. He's okay with that. He's not okay with glory. It's very different. So what's humility? humility is praise the Lord that, you know what, you delivered this for me, God, and I got to step out with you and see you move. Not, I'm nothing, I'm the least of the least of the least of the least, and I'm just this nothingness that God will use in this void of humanity. No, God, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. You delivered this, and look, God, look what I did with what you entrusted me. And the Lord looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. I believe God's breaking off even false humility of people today. And not only that, he doesn't just stop at that. He's a good father. I love that he didn't say, well done. He then goes to another level, because then it says he blessed them by entrusting them with more. I'm going to make you rulers of many things now. And again, in our limited thinking, we can think, oh, well, if I obey God, that means the bank balance is going to fill up. It's going to be fine and dandy. Or if I'm obedient with the little, that means I'm going to be on everyone's social media accounts preaching on a pulpit. It may look very different. We've got to be remain humble and think, okay, God, whatever your will be done. But we look throughout the Bible of examples of what this looks like. Joseph in slavery, where he had every reason. And you know what? In a worldly sense, no one probably would blame him if he, you know, acted out given what he had gone through. He still honored God behind the closed doors in slavery and in prison. And look what happened. God used the influence to bring healing to a nation, right? To provision in a famine. David, again, when everyone overlooked him, including his own brothers and father, the Lord saw what he did in private and he rewarded in secret. Again, the Jesus is very clear about that. The Father who sees in secret will reward you publicly. It's not for us to find that. The Lord will give you opportunities. You know, again, we need to think bigger. What does this actually look like? It may not actually be a tangible resource, but it actually might actually be a seat at a table of influence where you've got countries where, you know, governments are moving further and further away from God. Could it be, could I suggest that for one of us, many of us, that perhaps what more ruler of many things means is actually a seat at a table to bring change? Or in the workplace, or wherever it may be, in your sphere of influence. See, what, again, this nameless commentator, in the spirit of not celebrity-ing, if that's a word, says, faithful stewardship pleased the master more than the return of his investment. See how he doesn't mention anything about the five becoming 10? He's just like, well done, good and faithful servant. And so that brings it back to the one. See, the one brought his one talent and he brought his assumption. I know you're a hard man. Whew, I know like you're difficult. And so he came from a posture of fear. And then he goes, here's what's yours. Take it. And the master was like, you ought to have just deposited it into a bank. The point that he is making here is that something is better than nothing. I would have you rather had gone, and you know what? You did your best and it didn't work out. I look at the heart of it, not the fruit will come because I'm in it, I bless it. I would rather you do something than nothing. And yet many of us sit, some for decades, and the Lord is like, I would rather you just use what I've given you to encourage the cashier at the local supermarket. I would rather you just message that one person that hasn't spoken to you in 10 years and just say praying for you. I would rather us as a church do something than nothing. The Lord is pleased by effort, less so by passivity. See, a quiet church is no threat for the devil. In fact, he probably welcomes more dormant Christians because they know the truth, but they choose not to speak it. But what trembles hell is a church that steps out in their calling and wherever they go, see the kingdom of heaven come where they go. Notice how even throughout the Bible, I would say most, if not all, but most of the stories involve people going out of their comfort, not into their comfort. This isn't in my notes, but just going with the ghost on this one. Do you know what one of the biggest killers of talents is in this day and age? This line, I don't have the peace of God. I don't have the peace of God. Moses, you're going to go and free a whole nation of slavery. He didn't say, oh, yes, Lord, I have the peace, let's go. He's like, no, man, get Aaron to talk. I'll go, but Aaron's got to talk. And God was okay with that. It's not like in the Prince of Egypt where Moses was the one that spoke. The reality is, man, like, you know that you... the grace of God when you annoy God to the point, but even then, he still didn't destroy Moses. Like, all right, man, okay, I get it. You can't speak? Okay, I get it. Go. The Guinness World Book of Record of the longest side plank, Prophet Ezekiel. Read the book of Ezekiel, you know what I'm talking about. I wanna prove a point to Israel. So guess what? You've got a side plank on this side for this amount of time. Then you're gonna side plank. I don't read anywhere where Ezekiel goes, and the peace of the Lord was with me in this. Hosea, I'll leave it at that. Often when we say peace of God, what we're saying is I'm not comfortable. I need to be comfortable to know that God's in it. That's not pleasing to the Lord. See, one day we're going to be held accountable for what we did or didn't do with what we were assured with on this earth, what we were entrusted with on this earth. This is why we need to think outside of the church. This is why I'm not asking, hey, what team are you joining next year? Hey, you feel called to lead a team. We want you and we need you. But you know what? I would rather you entrust you with the gift that God has entrusted you. Again, this isn't on my notes. I would rather you use it out there where there are literally thousands of people going to hell than just use it here to make a service look good. If I'm honest with you, this is what God has been stirring on my heart this year. As we go into the 100th year, you know, when I think about the fruitfulness of this house, the revival happened because for 9 years, people prayed for God to move in their city. Behind closed doors, they just prayed and they did what they could to see God move. And yet we've made it about how great the worship's going to be on the day. Mind you, it was beautiful and powerful, but yet we've become comfortable with the idea that there are literally thousands in our community going to hell while we're here coming on a Sunday feeling good about something in a moment. I really believe God's breaking that. Please still keep coming to church. I love you, nice. It's good to have a family. So this is why we need to think about outside the walls and what God has entrusted you with. You know, I've had conversations, this goes into my last point, but you know, I remember one person, you know, saying, oh, look, and it was like, it's weird because the word doesn't have a positive to it, but it's like, I envy what you do. I wish I could do what you do. And yet my response is, I wish I could do what you do. Because I remember the day when I used to be a youth worker, when I was actually out there on the front line every single day, my job literally was to be alongside people that had been rejected by society, that were living in addiction, that were living broken. And my job was to actually be able to reflect the love of God with them and actually show them that they are worth so much more than where they're at. In fact, but instead here in church, it's a little bit different. We still get those opportunities, but not as much, right? So I'm like, I miss those days, right? Don't ever think that this is the ultimate. You know, this isn't. This is beautiful. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I love it. It's great. But there is so much more than a Sunday service. And so that leads to the last point. I'm going to invite the band to come up to give the perception that I'm finishing in a minute. Jokes. I love joking. I love it. Get some laughs, a few nervous laughs out the back. Fruitfulness builds on fruitfulness, whereas passivity leads to fruitlessness. Let me say that again. Fruitfulness builds on fruitfulness, whereas passivity leads to fruitlessness. The one's talent was taken away from him, given to the other two. So we missed out. See, what we don't occupy, the Lord will replace. It's a matter of urgency for God. Again, as my nameless commentator friend, it's not, if I, on a side note, it's not that I don't want to mention his name, I just forgot to write it down. So it's on the book, in the books, I didn't write their names down. Our talents hinge on the salvation and condemnation of others. Let me say that again. See, God entrusted us to be fruitful, to enjoy the fruitfulness, but to bring what he's entrusted us so that it can be the difference of someone being able to choose. You know, he talks about, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes, so that the whoever can have an opportunity to believe, he's entrusted you and I with talents. So wherever we go, our metron, our sphere of influence, so we can use what's entrusted so people have the right to choose. How many people in our sphere actually know Jesus? You know, we had something at our staff discipleship a few months ago where we had the privilege to go. We literally, what we thought is, let's stop talking evangelism. We're just going to worship and we're going to go to the streets. And it broke my heart that one of the groups, they spoke to a lady about Jesus and the lady was like, who's Jesus? That even in our city, there are still people that don't even know who Jesus is. And yet God puts each and every one of us in a sphere and graces us with a gift and a talent. You know, some you might be like, but Dave, like, you got to understand, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not saying that tomorrow that you pull out the box at the staff room and start going, you're all going to hell unless you repent. Well, getting down is going to be a bit hard. You know, some of the best conversations I ended up having. See, I worked in an environment where I didn't even have to mention Jesus. Oh, Christians are horrible. But they didn't even know I was, right? Like, Christians are horrible and they believe in, they're against everything. So I'm like, all right, if I wanted to kill a conversation, I would say, hey, I'm a pastor, or I'll go to church. I'm going to try a different tack. John 4 talks about Jesus asked a woman for a glass of water, ended up leading a whole town to revival, right? Like, so if it worked for you, Jesus, I'm going to try it. So I remember one particular woman, we had no choice because my job was to drive around the city of Melton every Friday night, going to hotspots where young people were doing naughty things and just say, hey, there's a better life for you ahead. But we were stuck in a van together, right? So I would talk about all things and I would be encouraging her, prophesying over her without saying, Jesus told me. So one day, after about a year, she goes, what are you doing tomorrow? Go out, because we do Saturday nights as well. I'm like, oh, I'm preaching at my church. Are you a Christian? Like, yeah. I just made the decision a minute ago. So she goes, so you hate and insert every group in there. I go, how'd you know that? Can't you see my hateful heart? Anyway, she would ask a lot of questions. And I remember one day we had our Christmas spec and, I had the privilege of being in one of the items and I invited her to come along. And I'll never, ever forget. She goes, I'm coming to your church, but not for the reason that you think. Okay. So I'm thinking, should I warn the pastoral care team? She goes, I'm coming to your church because of the way you talk about your wife. And I'm like, if you look at her and you look at me, I'm punching, man. Like, there's no other way to talk about her, right? And she was open and her family came. And the conversations, even when other people would start talking bad about church, I don't know where she's at in her walk with God, but she would just jump up and defend. No, they're not like that. Look at him. So that was just me in my sphere of influence, bringing the love of God, giving my talent of just encouraging and loving on people, just doing that. And many, many other stories like that. Well, even one of my friends from my very first job, 16, 17 years ago, calls me that day. Hey, I need you to pray to your big guy for me. She doesn't believe in God. He's the big guy. And I just want you to just bless me. I go, do you realize what you're asking for, yeah? No, I don't, but you're the pastor. Okay. The point of it is, when you outwork the talent that God has given you, that will attract people to want to know what's different about you. And when it attracts about what's different about you, then you have the opportunity to share. And it's your fruit, the fruitfulness of who you are that leads people to Jesus, not the fruitlessness and the hypocrisy. So my question is, in 2025, hey, let's not wait till 2025. What are you going to do with what God has entrusted you with today? In a lot of conversations that I've been in recent months, I've always been saying this. It's easy to do this until all this changes or until I see this, then I'll do that. The Lord is saying, forget about all this. What am I doing with that? How are you going to trade your talent? What will be your legacy? What will you share with the Lord when He comes and He asks you, my son, my daughter, even though he already knows, but this is what I love about God. The master knew, right? He comes back and all, I mean, if we're using, and again, I'm just going with the vein of what Jesus' example was. If there were bars of gold, the master, it's pretty obvious that, hey, wait a second, there's a lot more bars of gold here. It's pretty obvious. And yet, as a loving father, he goes, my son, my daughter, tell me, what did you do with what I gave you? I want to hear all about it. That's a loving father. What will you tell him? Will you be like the five and the two and be like, Lord, you delivered this to me. And look, I can't believe it. I don't know what you saw in me, God, but you delivered this to me. And look at that, God. How amazing are you? Thank you for trusting me. Or you'll be like, Lord, I knew you were a harsh master and I was scared. So you know what? I did nothing. I don't know about you, but what drives me is the embarrassment that I would feel if I said, Lord, if every year of my life I chose to do nothing because I thought I was nothing and I thought you were too hard. it's the embarrassment that I would feel. That I couldn't bear to live that. So I'm like, Lord, it hasn't been easy, but Lord, what have you graced me with? And Lord, you have my yes. I may not have much, but what you have given me, it's yours. And that has gotten me by in my 21 years of life. I stopped counting at 21, so I don't know how old I actually am. According to Judah, I'm 78 or something. It gets older each time. But at every single time, it's just been, you have my yes. Sonia will tell you, coming on staff 11 years ago almost was hard because I loved what I did. But the Lord called me. I'm like, all right, Lord, you're asking me to step into a role to do training, and I got no clue what I'm doing. I didn't even realize Habakkuk was a book in the Bible, and you want me to lead training? Okay, God. All right, sure. Use the foolish things of this earth to confound the wise. But I don't have much, Lord. But I give you my yes. Because obviously you've seen something in me that I don't see. I want to see. Show me. What's that talent? What's the meaning of that worth? And you're like, what? You've given me the equivalent of 75 years' wage. You see that esteem in me? How crazy would I not be to go and show that esteem to others? Some of us should just be upstanding. I just want to pray a blessing over each of you. And if you're comfortable enough, just wherever you are, just to stretch out your hands. I believe that the Lord wants to remind you what your talent is. In fact, even as before I pray, the Lord just gives me this burden for people. There are people that you've been told you're nothing all your life. Oh, I get this picture, and again, I won't say their gender because it might be personal, but I get this picture of a child. As a child, literally, this is not a comparison or a metaphor, it's a reality. That as a child, you longed for your mum and father's attention, and all you got was rejection and condemnation. Sorry for breathing in the mic. And that you would, and so you've grown and believed that you are nothing. But Father is calling you right now to tell you, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, when I formed you, I made you extra special. Each and every one of us, if you don't believe me, there are none of us that have the same DNA or fingerprints. Think about the likelihood of that over 6 billion people, billions of people, generation after generation. Such is the creativity of the Lord that each and every one of us are not the exact same version of the other. I believe that for you, that's you today. I'm not going to call you out. This is a very personal thing. You've believed that you're talentless because you've been told you were worthless. But I believe that the Lord is going to just renew. And this is a word for all, but specifically to this one. The Lord is going to light a flame in your heart. And I believe that, again, for this person in particular, I see a ministry of going after people with severe mental health, addiction, brokenness. I see that the value God is bestowing on you right now, you're going to go and literally give that to others, an overflow. And the years that have been robbed from you, the Lord is going to restore them to you because He is no respecter of persons. And so Lord, right now, wherever we are right now, Lord, God, may we not look externally to what is too great or what is someone else's problem, but that we would look internally. What have you given us, Lord? What have you entrusted us, Lord? May we be like the 5 and the 2, Lord, that no matter what we may think about it, that we're in our sphere of influence, we will just use what you've given us in that place, Lord. Lord, right now I break comparison, Lord. Lord, right now I break, Lord, insecurity, Lord. Lord, I just break right now, Lord, thoughts of inadequacy, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would see ourselves the way that you see us, Lord, as fearfully and wonderfully made, as blessed, Lord, to be fruitful and multiply, Lord, not to be complacent and passive, Lord. So I pray right now, Lord, for each and every one of this church, Lord, as 2025 comes, Lord, If it's in this church, brilliant. If it's outside of this church, brilliant. But Lord, we break off this mindset of celebrity, Lord, and passivity, Lord. And we take on, Lord, the mantle of sons and daughters. I love that the parable talks about slaves, but Jesus, you died for us to be sons and daughters, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.